what we covered yesterday, I'll just give a short little summary. We talked about the Antiochus and how he was an actual guy who had a lot of similar character traits of the Antichrist, because he was operating in the Antichrist spirit. And actually, a source that I was reading of biblical history said that he's actually one of the Bible's most forgotten villains, because he actually killed 40,000 Jews.
Oh, wow.
And he sold 40,000 into slavery. So that those dates were actually, let's see here. It was, I think, 400 and something BC. So, 164 to 175 BC
okay.
were those dates. So, yeah. He was a pretty evil person. He mocked the Lord. He operated in spirits that weren't the Holy Spirit, just like the Antichrist will. I mean, there were so many parallels. He declared himself to be God. He didn't believe in any other gods. And he was operating in power, but not his own power, the word said. So right. There was just so many parallels. And so we have to remember, it can be talking about a actual person and also be prophetically looking forward to the actual Antichrist.
That's good insight.
Because that same spirit's there, just like with Hitler, yeah. These different ones throughout history that were operated in the same spirit. Now, they probably thought they were going to be the next big thing, which, I mean, they did a lot of damage, but they weren't the actual Antichrist that's
right.
fulfilling scripture. So I'm sure they probably would have wanted to be, because they wanted all the power. They
yeah.
wanted all the glory for themselves. And that's the one thing that we can remember to look out for with the Antichrist, is he wants to be God.
Right.
And no one's making him. I think we have to remember that. No one is going to make the person of the Antichrist that way. He is choosing his own desires. He has free will in the matter, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
The person that actually ends up being fulfilling that role of the Antichrist person. So we have to remember that. But let's read. I think we're going to get through verses. We'll try to get through verses 1 through 6
okay.
today.
Yeah.
So we can read. Somebody want to read for us?
I'll try to read those words.
Okay.
All right. In the first year of Darius, the son of Assyrius, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of the reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. I am going to read on, but I want to say this also. This verse 3 starts, of course, this is Daniel praying for his people, praying for his people, the Lord's people. But in verse 3, it starts, and I got some notes here, and it says, the prayer of Daniel here is the longest prayer in the Old Testament and was a model for other prayers in the Bible, just like Nahum 1:4-11, and is based upon the promises found in the scripture in Jeremiah 29.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we see where verse 3 says, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. And I said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, all right, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. It says, we have sinned, it says we, and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. So we can stop right there and, you know, just right off the bat, I'm thinking about as he prays, he's talking about what we did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't necessarily think that maybe Daniel did.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But he, you know, it's like, hey, we grew as a family. We, you know, we fell as a family. But together, we are going to do something for the kingdom of God.
Right.
Amen.
And I think so many times, you know, when I think about we, I think about the family. I think about the family of God. I just don't think about, even though I pastor Madrid, I just don't think about Madrid. You know
right.
what I'm saying? When I talk about we, I think about the kingdom of God. So I just think that's very, it's very awesome of Daniel here to realize his authority and to realize that part of everybody else, he's saying, this is what we have done.
Yeah.
Because we've allowed it.
So. And I think he understood too, and I'll read my notes historical, my study notes from my Bible. It talks about how this chronological order that it gives here, like the dates and things, is important because this was during the change of power that provoked Daniel to search scriptures in Jeremiah. So we know he went back to Jeremiah. He read the scripture of Jeremiah, and he saw the prophecies that Jeremiah had prophesied that the captivity of the Jews would last 70 years. So that was what Jeremiah, and if we go back to Jeremiah, it prophesies that. So, and that if anybody wanted to go back and look, it's Jeremiah 25:11. But that period was almost over at this point. I didn't know this, but when Daniel is praying this, that 70 years is actually almost to an end of what he's prophesying. So Daniel knows that he has, in essence, a prayer of confession and petition is needed. Mm. Like he knows this time is about to be up, and God promised to deliver us out of captivity. So I think he's seeing here, like, almost kind of like the times that we're living in now. Like, we know we're getting close to the end of a season where we're about to see some things happen. So I think that's why there has to be repentance take place before that shifting happens. Because how can he shift us from one season to the other if we're not ready for the next season?
Right.
So I think that's what Daniel was getting to, was he's like, I know what you've promised, Lord. And we're about to be freed from captivity, but our hearts aren't ready.
Ooh. Come on now. That's right.
I mean, that's what I see here, because he's saying, we have sinned. We have committed iniquity. He's like, we haven't repented yet. And we got to be repent. We have to have a repentance before we can actually be ready to get out of here, because how are we going to stay free?
Come on.
You know?
That's good, Hannah.
And that's what I'm seeing here with this where he's at, with knowing that the Lord is about to do that. And it goes back to what you were saying, Brother Josh, is that, you know, about God's promise. And something, another note that I wrote down here was that Daniel, in his prayer, he was fixing his thoughts, and he was very steadfast in this prayer. A lot of people think that he directed his face, you know, like towards Jerusalem. We've talked about that a little bit. Like, he would pray towards Jerusalem. But I actually read a commentary that talked about how when it talks about he faced to where the temple had stood, he's not just facing to the temple to face towards the temple, but it's signifying and symbolizing that his face is set on the Lord with perseverance, with fervency, like nothing. His whole focus is on the Lord. And that he was very intense in this prayer.
Come on.
Almost. Yeah. And then it said that God's promises should actually excite and encourage our prayers.
Yes.
And I really like that, because when we go back and we remember his promises, like for me, that is what kind of like fuels my prayers. Yes. Because it gives me that hope. It gives me that excitement. Mm-hmm. Even in the midst of whatever I see, it helps me to get past whatever the circumstances I'm seeing. And I'm like, okay, Lord, none of this makes sense, but I know what you spoke, and your word says your word never returns void. So I'm going to keep looking on this thing.
That's right.
And I'm going to keep like ignoring these things. I'm going to keep praying for what's going on, but I'm not going to be consumed by it.
That's right.
And I think that's what Daniel was trying to pray here, was like, he sees all these things happening, but he's trying to press forward, and he's also having that repentant heart. So
yes. And I mean, as a leader and as somebody that was praying for people, it was so important for him to realize, for the people to see him praying. Because, I mean, it's amazing that how, you know, I go back to, you know, part of my testimony, Sachana. I think about how blessed I really am to have people around me that I seen pray throughout my childhood, that I seen shake my face, that I knew that, hey, that if I walked into my granny's, or if I walked into somebody's house, and let's say I had a nose sniff or something, they'd say, whoa, 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 let's pray for that right now. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just a matter of Daniel realizing that, hey, there's people that I see that if they don't do this, if I don't show them what they need to do, then they're not going to know to do it. You see, if we don't raise people up and let them understand that they need to be discipled, that they need to have a home church, and they have. But I told the ones there Sunday morning, I said, listen, I said, if the only time you get fed is on Sunday morning, then that ain't enough.
You're starving.
Yeah.
I said, exactly. That's a good point. You're starving. That's awesome. I may use that one day, all right? But see, that's exactly right. Because, I mean, here's the thing. That's where we go to build each other up, to be edified in one another. But see, if that's the only place that we get any kind of knowledge about the Word of God, then we are not doing the things that we need to do as the people of God. So, therefore, if Daniel can set forth here and show the people that says, we have sinned. All right, what are we going to do about it? We are going to pray. We're going to seek his face. Mm-hmm. We are going to repent before him. Well, I thought we need to be doing this. See, everybody wants to do everything else other than the stuff that we need to be doing. You
yeah,
know what I'm saying?
That's, I mean, so true.
And so we need to be doing the... You say, well, that's basic. Apparently, it ain't basic because we ain't learned it yet. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, I mean, something basic, you know, you learn quick. I mean, but this is something that has been... hard for the church and for the people of God to really understand, even in the Old Testament. Everybody yeah. want to talk about, well, it started, the church started, but still repentance started way back in the Old
yes.
Testament as
yes.
well. Because the prophets of old and the ones and those minor and major prophets, all of them realized, we got to repent. We have sinned. We've gone against God. Now what are we going to do about it? So, I mean, I don't know why.
There's
also,
so much here.
I mean, there is, because, I mean, I'm so grateful that y'all got to right here and I was able to be a part of it this morning.
Yeah.
Because even when I see dreadful or you see fearful or something about God, I want people to realize what some of these words mean. Because,
mm-hmm.
see, a lot of times, fear God, dreadful, he's a dreadful God. And you always think about dreadful being like, man, what do you mean he's dreadful? I got a dread. No, what that means is it's actually, you look it up in the Strong's, it's 3372. It means to fear or to reverence.
Yeah.
To reverence in a spot because of why? Because of where God is.
Well,
and it's a verb. It shows action.
Yeah.
So that means we just don't need to think it or say it. We got to show some action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a verb right there. And I remember, I don't remember a whole lot in school, okay? I really don't. But I do
verbs,
remember.
Action.
Verbs is an action word.
I love this discussion because this is pointing out things to me that I never even saw when I read this last night. Like when I read this on my own. And that's what I love about studies with other people too. But something that the Lord just clicked in my spirit was, you know, those of us who have grown up in the church and... maybe haven't walked through some of the same battles that other people may have when they were in the world longer before they came to the Lord.
Right.
We feel like our testimony isn't powerful. But we literally, if we look at Daniel's life, we have no excuse. Like, I'm encouraged by looking at him because it's like, he didn't have that testimony of walking through the world.
Yep.
His testimony was walking with the Lord.
Amen.
Like, that was his testimony. And to me, that's encouraging because now I have a lot more of like what not to do than Daniel. So I do have a testimony of even though I was with the Lord, I was messing up, and I have testimonies to try to help other people overcome, to not make some of the mistakes that I have.
Right.
But even yet, you know, I've always thought, well, I don't know if I really need to share my testimony because, you know, I've been a Christian and for this long, and other people, they, you know, they just have more of a radical salvation moment and all this. But no, this is encouraging to me. And when you were just talking about Daniel modeling prayer for people, and sometimes we put actually more glory on what the before Jesus than the after Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I think testimonies are really underestimated that are showing what to do.
Right.
I think, like, we think that we have to be like other people or have other people's testimony. So we think that we have to relate to them in that way. But I really think if we would just start being who God's created us to be, like Daniel, and not backing up and keep praying, keep showing people the light, that's going to speak for itself. It really is.
That's
so that spoke to me through this.
Man,
but
awesome.
We are at break. We did have a text. Elizabeth said, it's like us living in this time and seeing what's going on, and knowing what the revelation says in the scripture, talking about the end times. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio.